We're doing the Rishot Aranim of page Kufnun and Beis in the Mishor edition, Kuf Yud Zayin in the Shalem edition, Reish Samach Tet in the Mosader of Kuk edition. Shema Tashivet Omar, maybe you'll counter and say, Aval Pi Shatana Zot Maspeket, Meichan Yatzal Rabbeinu Zal Chiyuv Mita Ze. Even though we gave a decent answer about the stringency of transgressing the rabbinic institutions, but nonetheless, where the rabbis come off saying that he who transgresses a rabbinic institution will get the death penalty. It's one thing to say that it's much worse to transgress a rabbinic institution because, like he explained earlier, that's something which a person really doesn't have such a yetzer hara to do. If it were yetzer hara, then he would have transgressed the biblical things too. The only reason a person would transgress a rabbinic thing is because he mocks the institutions of the rabbis. That was the idea he presented earlier. So he said, he's saying now, maybe you'll tell me, okay. So he argued that when a person only transgresses rabbinic institutions, what he's saying is, I don't respect them. So then I can understand why that's severe, but how can you go so far to say he should get the death penalty? The source of rabbinic institutions is that verse, Lo tasum nadvar sheyagidu lecha. Do not veer from what the high court tells you. Well, it doesn't say over there that he who does should get the death penalty. So where'd the rabbis come off saying that? Shuvatcha. So the answer to that question is as follows. Hashayla zot moshechet kama sheilot ima. That in order to address that, you have to address a bunch of questions with it. Shematzinu kama anashim megiyam onesh rav al avera achat. We find many times that a person does one sin, and they get a tremendous punishment for it. And sometimes we find that people will get a severe punishment, even though the Torah does not overtly tell us that the punishment for that sin is this great punishment. We'll take one example. The Talmud tells us in Sota about Asa. There was a Judean king named Asa that recovered from a siege, and he enlisted everyone to come and defend the city, meaning rebuild the walls that were breached and rearrange things so that they wouldn't be able to lay siege on Jerusalem again so easily. So the Talmud says, "Mipnei enash Asa." How come we find that Asa was later punished? Mipnei shasan galya b'talmidei chachamim. Because he forced even those that were learning Torah, he forced them to come and work in setting up the protection of Jerusalem again. So, wait a second, where does it say that a king gets punished because he taxes and ensures that even those learning Torah will come and help the fortification? At the end of his days, Asa lost the usage of his feet, he became a cripple, and the Talmud says this was because he forced those that were learning Torah out to work in the protection of Jerusalem. Where does it say this? That? How did the rabbis say he gets that punishment? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that if the king enlists those learning Torah, he's going to get that punishment. Later on in the Talmud in Sota, Darshu, the Talmud also derives, it says God was upset at the king Uzzah, so he smote him over there. Why was Uzzah killed? Remember, this is when they were taking the Aron, the Ark, up from Beit Shemesh to Jerusalem. And en route, Uzzah drops dead. You have two brothers who are in charge of taking the Aron up to Jerusalem. And during the procession, one of them drops dead. So the Talmud says, why did Uzzah drop dead? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. You have a Rebbe and his disciple. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chad amar al iskei shalu. One says it was because of something he did by mistake. He forgot the idea that the Aron doesn't need his help. Meaning they were carrying the Aron up on a wagon, and suddenly the cows lurched forward, and Uzzah grabbed the Aron to ensure it doesn't fall off the wagon. And Chazal said there was a mistake in that, because the Aron doesn't need a human hand to ensure it doesn't fall. When the Kohanim were carrying the Aron, so it would hover over their shoulders. They couldn't carry such a weight of gold on their shoulders. The Aron was really hovering on its own, The Talmud says that when we crossed over the Jordan, so the Aron literally carried the Kohanim like a helicopter across the Jordan. So if the Aron could carry the people who were supposed to carry it, it doesn't need Uzzah to ensure it doesn't fall off the wagon. So Ula reached out and grabbed the Aron and then dropped dead. So that's why he dropped dead. Where does it say that if the Aron is about to fall, because the cows lurch forward and the person grabs and holds on, he's going to drop dead? V'chen manche Beit Shemesh, it says that when the Philistines took the Aron into captivity and then they brought it back, so the people of Beit Shemesh weren't respectful enough of the Aron, different interpretations of what exactly they did. The pasuk says kira'u baron Hashem, because they looked at the Aron, and the Gemara asks mishum de'ra'u vayach, just because they looked at the Aron, just because they saw the Aron, oh, so many people dropped dead. Rabbi Avu v'Rabbi Elazar chad amar kotzrim u'mshtachavim ayu. One interpretation is that the Aron came, they were in the middle of harvesting, so they didn't stop working. They would harvest and bow and harvest and bow, and then that was a way of serving Hashem on the side. So the Aron is here, the Holy of Holies is right there in their field, and they don't stop harvesting. So that's one interpretation. And the other rabbi says, no, they also said things that were disrespectful. The Aron comes back in a miraculous fashion, right? Remember, they went to war, the Philistines captured the Aron. For 7 months, there are plagues throughout Philistine territory. Everywhere the Aron would go, people are dying like flies. The Philistines say, we can't handle this. They send it back, they put it on a wagon with young calves, they tie their mothers behind, and the young calves just walk straight to Beit Shemesh, bringing the Aron back.
It was the mothers.
You want to say it was the mothers. What does it say there? The calves were tied behind, and the mothers were taking it. Right, okay. That sounds right. I don't have a Tanakh in front of me, it sounds right. They tied the kids behind, and the mothers went straight ahead. Right. Vayasharna ha-parot. Right, the mothers. So, the people looked at the Aron, miraculously, just riding forward. The cows have no guide. And they realize it's the hand of the Aron. So when the Aron comes back, the people of Beit Shemesh are in the middle of their harvest, and they said, "Man amrich v'amart, uman ata alach de'itpayast." They said to the Aron, "What happened that you got so upset? And what happened that you calmed down? Who got you upset that you let us lose the war and you didn't save yourself when it came time to going into captivity? And what happened that you made up with us that now you suddenly did do miracles and you came riding back?" So they looked at the Aron and they that's what they said. So people started dying like flies back in Beit Shemesh too. Now, in all these stories, uvechorchi uvemita'ilu, in all these instances that people died, lo matzinu remez b'dachei Torah, you look at the Torah, it doesn't say that for saying a line like that, a person would drop dead. It doesn't say that for reaching out to the Aron, a person would drop dead. Where did Chazal get that from? Kmo shelo ramaz balovrei al divrei chachamim. Just as in our example, you don't find the Torah saying if you transgress a rabbinic institution, there's the death penalty. So the Ran says, before you ask me about that, you have a slew of other questions in Chazal. V'chen b'inyan Reuven. The same is true with regards to Reuven, Shereinu Shesigo Onish Gadol Al Chet Muat. We find that Reuven, the Talmud tells us, did a slight sin, and yet he got a tremendous punishment. He lost his rights to being the firstborn, a double portion in Israel. He lost his rights to the priesthood. He lost his rights to the throne. All of that should have been in the tribe of Reuven. He lost it all for something minor. Kvar amru b'Shabbat, the Talmud in Tractate Shabbos already tells us, Amar b'Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar b'Yonatan, Kol ha'omer Reuven chatai no l'achot toe. Anyone who interprets the verses literally about Reuven's sin is none other than making a mistake. Shneimar v'Yishma Yisrael v'Yuvne Yaakov Shneimasar. The verse says even after Yaakov heard what happened, he still numbered his children as 12. Melamed shekulan ke'echad, that teaches us they were all like one. In other words, Reuven couldn't have done things that are as bad as we read the verse. The verse literally reads, he slept with his father's wife. If that's what he did, then he wouldn't be one of the tribes. The verse right away tells us, but there were 12. Why? Because our tradition is that the verse gives it that severity, but that wasn't what he did, in fact. He moved his father's bed. He got involved in issues of intimacy. He got involved where he shouldn't have gotten involved to protect his mother's honor, but he didn't do this anything as bad as the verse states. Ocham, you have another line over there in the tractate Cham. It's Tani Abishiman Elazal Mer. Mutzalotah Ishmavon Lobamase Leyado. That person, Reuven, is saved from sin. He never did something as bad as the Torah overtly says. His descendants stand on Mount Ebal. They say, cursed is a person who sleeps with his father's wife, and their grandfather did it. So this is where the Talmud says, our tradition is that when it says he slept with Bilhah, it doesn't mean that he literally slept with her, but rather when Rachel died, so Yaakov moved his bed from Rachel's tent to Rachel's maid, to Bilhah's tent. Reuven said, if my mother had to suffer her whole life that Rachel was the chosen wife, so now Rachel's servant has to be the chosen one over my mother? So Reuven came in protest and messed up the beds. And Reuven, so his father comes back and sees someone's been messing around with the beds. What's going on here? He's getting involved with who his father should sleep with. So that was disrespectful. He was coming to protect his mother's honor. The Torah considers it. The Torah says he slept with her. It doesn't. Our tradition is that that's not what happened. In Cain, so if we're saying what he did wasn't that severe, it's not that he actually slept with his father's wife, and if you say that he did, so you're in error. So then how come he got such a severe punishment? He lost the crown of the Bechorah, the priesthood, and the kingship. How so? If you're saying it wasn't so severe, so then why was the punishment so severe? So he gave us a slew of examples where people got severe punishments, and we can't understand why they got such a punishment. The Torah doesn't seem to give us the source for such a severe punishment. So that's what he will address with Hashem next week. Where did all this come from? And in line with that, where did Chazal get this idea from, that one who transgresses a rabbinic institution will get the death penalty as well?